Good evening. It's an honor and pleasure to be here tonight with my forever family. I'm in recovery for codependency, fear of rejection, abandonment, and for overcommitment, and my name is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
So for those of you who joined us for the first time tonight, welcome. We're glad that you are here, making that decision to leave the comforts of your home on this cold and dreary night is monumental in your step to recovery. The first step is often the most difficult, so we want to congratulate you for making that decision to be here tonight. You are in the right place, the best place to be on a Monday night. You'll often hear us speak of that this is our forever family. And as you get to know us, you'll find out the true meaning of those two words, forever family. This may be the first place in your entire life where you're fully and completely accepted for just who you are. Amen. It may be the first place where you've been where you won't find even an ounce of judgment. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you're welcome here as a part of our forever family. And we look forward to walking alongside you as you begin your journey of recovery. You no longer have to do it alone, and you finally have found a place where it's safe to share, to be transparent, where the guilt and shame of the past can be put behind you as you walk alongside of us to your freedom. Yes, it truly is the best place to be on a Wednesday night. So even if you're here tonight and you're not entirely sure about this program, please keep coming back. In the past 25 years, nearly 3.5 million people's lives have been changed by this program. Keep coming back so you can be one of those whose lives have been transformed through the power of the one and true living God. So let's catch up where we are in this journey called recovery. So we began this process a few weeks ago by focusing on denial. We stepped out of the fog that clouded our lives by accepting that our hurts, hang-ups, and habits were causing our lives to be out of control. With the clarity that began to form after stepping out of denial, we came to the realization that we are powerless to control our tendencies to do the wrong things and that our lives have become unmanageable, which is step one. But instead of standing in desperation, we came to realize that there is hope. And that hope comes from an understanding that God exists and that we matter to him and that he has the power to help us recover, which is step two. Which brings us to where we are tonight in this journey of recovery, and that is action. So let's look at the principles and steps associated with action. So will you read with me together principle three? Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. And the verse that goes along with that principle, happy are the meek, Matthew 5:5. And then in step three, we read that with me. We made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. And the verse that goes along with step three, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Romans 12:1. Principle 3 and step 3 are all about action. If we dissect the principle, we see that it's about movement, about doing something. It's about taking steps forward in our recovery. It's about getting unstuck from the patterns of our behavior in the past and the chains that are binding us from stepping into freedom. Our old familiar negative barriers of pride, fear, guilt, worry, shame, and doubt hold us steadfast in a cycle of negative consequences and often self-destructive behaviors. When we're stuck, it's like Bill Murray in the movie Groundhog's Day. The alarm goes off every morning and we find ourselves doing the same things over and over and over again. Days become weeks, weeks become months, and months become years. And in my own case, 35 years of adulthood passed by while I was doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, which interestingly enough is the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. The reality, in order for things to change, I had to do something different. But doing something different requires action on my part. But we don't often take action immediately. We get into a mindset that our out-of-control life is normal or that it's better to stay stuck as we understand the chaos of our current situation, whereas we may not fully understand what walking in freedom looks like. And it quite frankly may seem a little scary to some of us. As someone who transitioned into freedom from absolute chaos, I can tell you from personal experience that this side of the street is nothing short of amazing. Sure, I have my days and moments, but for the most part, I never want to go back to my old ways, as I remember all too well the pain of the past. But it took me years and years and years to get to that point of taking action. In my own life, that change didn't occur until the pain of staying the same exceeded the pain of change. I don't know if you've heard that statement before, so let me say it one more time. By our very human nature, change will not occur until the pain of staying the same exceeds the pain of change. When I stepped out of denial, I could see clearly that the other side of the street was significantly less painful than the path that I was on, and I made the conscious decision to take action and change. So let me put that concept of change, that change won't occur, into a real-world example. In August of 2014, I was standing outside an office building waiting for a cab to pick me up to take me to the airport. I was standing in Phoenix, Arizona. It was hot that day. In fact, it was a record-breaking temperature for that date in August in Phoenix. My phone said it was 117 degrees, which for this Portland boy is about 37 degrees beyond my tolerance point. Add to that, I was standing in front of a building that was nearly all glass, and the glass was highly reflective, making the place I was standing feel like standing inside an Easy Bake oven with a 500-watt light bulb. It was literally painful to stand outside on the sidewalk. But yet 12 steps away was the front door of an office building. I had a choice to make. I could stand on the sidewalk where I was being seared by the sun, or I could take 12 steps to the left and open the door to what I believed was an air-conditioned lobby. I couldn't really see that the temperature inside the building was cooler than the outside. I really couldn't. But I could see the behavior of the people inside the building, and they didn't seem to be in the same pain that I was experiencing. Trust me, I took the 12 steps because of the pain of staying the same, standing in that Easy Bake oven, and walking through that door of 72 degrees to where it was less painful in that air-conditioned building. I took action. I changed. Looking through those doors in the office building is a lot like recovery. We're standing in the pain of our current situation, and we see several of the people here on Wednesday nights who have been working this program and have turned their lives over to Christ's care and control, and they appear to be happy and walking in freedom, just like those people in the office building that I saw through the window that day. The only way we're going to experience that freedom, as we do as I did, take the 12 steps and enter into recovery. Change will not occur until the pain of staying the same exceeds the pain of change, and change happens by taking action. If we look at principle 3 and dissect it into its various components, Jesus gives us a step-by-step roadmap for taking action. The first part of the principle says to consciously choose, which means that it doesn't happen automatically or subconsciously. Subconscious action is putting your hand on a stove, and we don't sit there and ponder the effects of leaving our hand on that hot stove. We immediately move our hand due to the pain. It's an unconscious action. Recovery isn't an unconscious action. And isn't it interesting that we often feel the same level of pain in our lives that are caused by our addictions and afflictions as putting our hand on that hot stove? But we don't remove ourselves from the situation. While you may be sitting there tonight thinking that there's so much to overcome that there's no way it will ever come to pass, just remember one thing. When we consciously choose to make change, to take action, then the power of God, the creator of the universe, will help us to move forward. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And when we believe that truth, it opens the door to what Paul wrote about in Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We are not alone in this. And I am constantly reminded of my early days in recovery when I constantly made mistakes. How many mistakes has God made in all of eternity? I'm pretty sure the answer is zero. The next section of the principle, commit all my life and will. You'll note that the principle doesn't say commit some of my life and will, or commit those parts that I'm willing to give up, or I'll commit these things over there, and I'll see how well that goes, and I'll make a decision then on which next pieces that I'll commit. The principle says to commit all my life and will. It doesn't say I'll commit on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I'll get back to you on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This is often a difficult topic for many of us in recovery, and it stems from the fear of the unknown. We find ourselves justifying not turning over all aspects of our lives by saying things to ourselves such as, and you don't have to raise your hands if you've ever said these things, but just think about them. Well, it'll be over soon. Or this will end at some point in the future. The reality soon turns into forever, and it really never ends. I use this one excuse for nearly 40 years. Or we'll say, you know, I've been doing this for so long, it just seems normal to me. The reality is, it isn't normal, as it's causing pain and suffering for you or those around you. This was my goal. This was my go-to self-talk. It was my normal. Another thing we say is, well, everybody else that I know is doing it. Just because somebody else is suffering doesn't mean that you have to endure the pain. And yep, I use that one too. And it was my personal favorite. Also said, what if I don't like how God runs my life? I want to do it my way. My reality was that my way was the express way to destruction. Every time I jerked the wheel out of God's hands, I rarely gave him access, and I rarely gave him access to the steering wheel. I ended up in the ditch. The reality of the inability to turn over all of our lives and will stems from fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear that God will take us down a path that we don't want to go. Fear that God, the creator of the universe, will somehow make a mistake. The fear that God will take those things away that bring us pleasure today. The fear that God doesn't have our best intentions in mind, and the fear that God will somehow get it wrong. But I ask you, when was the last time that God made a mistake? While God may lead us down a path that we don't want to go, that path results in far better outcomes than we could ever do under our own desires and under our own strength. It requires trust and faith. And for many of us, trust is hard to come by due to what others have done to us. We fear that God is just another entry on the list of people who have hurt us. But the truth is that God loves us beyond our abilities to understand the depth and breadth of how he cares for us. And if we truly understand who God is, we'll come to know that by his very nature that God is love. 1 John 4, 8 and 16. His essence and nature are love. Love permeates his very being and infuses all of his other attributes. Forever family, let go and let God. Fear comes from the enemy. And once we understand the source of fear and let go, we can be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day that Christ returns for us. The rest of the principle rests in the hands of Christ. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. When we understand the very nature of Christ, that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that he willingly went, and that the agony that he experienced was greater than any of us will ever have to experience or understand. In fact, the agony was so great that he literally sweated blood. When we finally understand who he is and what we mean to him, we'll rest in the comfort knowing that we're turning over our life to the perfect one who can help us step into the freedom that can only come from Jesus. As the Jesus Culture song so perfectly says, this principle about action is all about understanding that there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. You don't have to make this journey alone. You don't have to do it under your own will or power. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain that's holding you captive to the thoughts, feelings, actions, addictions, and afflictions of your past. Principle three is like opening the door. All you need is a willingness to make the decision. Christ will do the rest. So let's look at tonight's acrostic. So the handouts that were on your chairs, hopefully everybody has one. So acrostics are a big part of what we do in lessons. So we're going to look at the word action, and for each of the letters in action, we're going to define a word that is associated with this principle. The first letter stands for accept Jesus Christ as your higher power and Savior. Make the once-in-a-lifetime decision to ask Jesus into your heart. Make the decision to establish that personal relationship with your higher power he so desires. Now is the time to choose to commit your life. God is saying, make it today. Satan says, do it tomorrow. But don't wait till tomorrow, because you never know what tomorrow brings. In Romans 10:9, God's word tells us, if you confess that Jesus is the Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. As I was writing this message this week, I heard the Holy Spirit say that there would be some here tonight who need to accept Jesus as their personal Savior and who are ready to make that commitment in walking out my obedience to God. I want to give those that are here tonight the opportunity to make that decision. So out of confidentiality and just to honor those that are around us, would you please bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? So for those that are here tonight who are ready to make that decision, please know that we're not going to call you out or embarrass you. So with everybody with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, in a moment I'm going to count to three, and when I do, will you just so kindly raise your hand and look up here so I can acknowledge your decision? By raising your hand, you're making this simple expression of action. After a few moments, I'll ask everybody in this room to repeat a simple prayer after me. Like everything here at Celebrate Recovery, you don't have to do this alone. We're not here to embarrass you. We'll all say the prayer together. We won't call you out by name. It's just between you and God. Okay, with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, I'm going to count to three. And if you want to make that decision tonight for the first time, or if you want to recommit and rededicate your life to Jesus, would you just raise your hand and look at me up front so I can acknowledge your decision? So, one, two, three. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And you, and you, and you. Amen. Lots of hands raised tonight. So will all of you repeat this very simple prayer with me? And we'll say it out loud so that everybody's voice is heard. Father God, I admit that I've made mistakes. I've sinned. And I need your forgiveness. I'm ready to change my ways, to turn away from my sins. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And after 3 days, he rose from the dead. I believe that Jesus will come again. And at this moment, I welcome you, Jesus, into my heart. And I choose to follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the Bible says that even when one comes to Jesus, that the angels in heaven rejoice. So let's celebrate with heaven by giving a round of applause for those that made the decision tonight. Thank you. And for those of you that just made that commitment, or those of you who have made the commitment in the past, the next letter in the acrostic for you is the C. It's only after you make this decision that you can begin to commit to start asking and following as well. I'd venture that all of us here tonight have tried to run our lives under our own power and found it to be less than successful. In principle three, we change our definition of willpower Willpower becomes the willingness to accept God's power to guide your life. We come to see that there is no room for God if we are full of ourselves. We need to pray the prayer the psalmist prayed when he said, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and you and your good spirit lead me on level ground." The letter T in action stands for turn. Turn it over. Let go and let God. You've heard that phrase many times in recovery. It doesn't say just let go of some things to God. It doesn't say just let go of only the big things. It says let go of everything and turn it all over to God. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success." In everything you do, not just the big things, not just the little things, everything. You see, Jesus Christ doesn't want a relationship with part of you. He desires a relationship with all of you. What burdens are you carrying tonight that you want to turn over to Jesus? He says, "Come to me and I will give you rest, all of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke. Wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly, and let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your souls, for I give you only light burdens." Matthew 11:28-30. The next letter in action is I, and it's the word for it's, meaning it's only the beginning. In the third principle, we make the initial decision to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. Then we can make the commitment to seek and follow God's will. The new life that begins with this decision is followed by a lifelong process of growing as a Christian. Philippians 1:6 puts it this way, "God who began a good work in you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until the task within you is finally finished." I'd like to compare the third principle to buying a new house. You first make the decision to buy the new house, but that's only the beginning. There are still more steps that you need to take before you actually can move into the house. You need to go to the bank and apply for a loan. You need to get an appraisal. You need to complete escrow. You need to contract with a moving company, and you need to contact the utility companies, all before you're ready to move in. Recovery is not a three-principle program. Principle three is only the beginning of a new life, a life that we live in a new way, one day at a time. The letter O in action stands for one day at a time. Our recoveries happen one day at a time, and for me, my own recovery was often one moment at a time, as that's all the strength I could muster. But one moment at a time meant that there was forward movement, and that built momentum until I could face one day at a time. If we remain stuck in the yesterday or constantly worry about tomorrow, we'll waste the precious time of the present. And it's only in the present that we change and grow, where change and growth can occur. We can't change yesterday, and we can only pray about tomorrow. Jesus gave us instructions for living this philosophy. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34. Believe me, if I could go back and change the past, I would do many things differently. I would choose to spare my daughters the pain and hurt that my addictions and afflictions cause, but I can't. But I can't change even one thing. I can't change anything that happened in my past, and neither can you. And on the other side of the coin, I can't live somewhere way off in the future, always worrying this or that is going to happen, and neither can you. Leave that up to God. But I can, and I do, live in today, and I can, with Jesus' guidance and direction, make a difference in the way that I live today, and so can you. You can make a difference one day at a time. This finally brings us to the last letter of the acrostic, and N stands for the next step. The next step is to ask Jesus into your life if you didn't do that tonight or you haven't in the past. As a Christ-centered recovery program, it's all about Jesus, and Jesus can't do the work in your life if we ban him from our hearts. The promise of eternal life in heaven is only part of the entirety that Christ brings into your life. Jesus also brings to you the power to change and the power to do amazing things that would be impossible for you to do under your own power. As I said earlier, as the Jesus Culture song so perfectly says, there's power in the name of Jesus. I'll wrap up tonight with a little parable that a friend of ours shared last night at church. It was his 25th anniversary being clean and sober, an amazing milestone. And I asked him how it all began, and he told me the story of three turkeys. Being the week before Thanksgiving, I think he changed the story a little bit to fit the season. But the story still sticks. So three turkeys were sitting on a log, and one of the turkeys turned to the other two and said, "I think I'll fly away." How many turkeys are left? Three, right. He didn't actually take action. He sat there and thought about it. Our friend said that his success started when he was that turkey who took action and stepped forward in recovery and never looked back. My forever family, I ask you to be that turkey tonight. Take action. Move forward. And thank you for sharing your evening with me tonight.